2 Kings chapter 4 this morning. 2 Kings chapter 4. In the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 4, we're going to be reading verses 1 and 2. I'll read verse 1, and then if you'll join with me on verse 2, if you'll stand for the read of God's Word this morning. Again, 2 Kings chapter 4. And I'll read verse 1 if you'll read with me on verse number 2. Again, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much again, as we've already heard the singing of your verses, just the songs, Lord, to bless our hearts. Lord, I pray you bless the message. Lord, I pray that you just allow us to open our ears and our hearts to the word. Lord, I thank you so much for this place and what it means. Lord, I pray you bless the singing. And Lord, I pray again, bless the message. In your name we pray. Amen.
Chords resound their anthem. You are good singing. I'm glad I'm going to be there. Amen. That'll be a day, friend. That'll be a day to be there, and I hope you're going to be there. If you're born again, you may not know it. If you've just been saved recently or a short few months or a couple of years, you may not know everything about them. None of us do. But that'll be a great day when we see old Satan given his due. Now, I want you to notice verse number 2. Elisha says to this widow woman, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." So I want to speak this morning on the subject, only a pot of oil. Only a pot of oil. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we look with anticipation to the day that Brother Dan just sang about in that good song, the day that our enemy and your enemy, Satan, will get what's coming to him. And I pray, God, that we will be faithful to serve you until that day comes that you take us to heaven and we begin to witness some of the things that are written about the future in your book. And Lord, I pray that along the way we will be reminded of the truth I'm going to speak about this morning. You brought this to my heart some days ago. I have not forgotten it. The Holy Spirit has helped it to grow inside of me. And I pray that today now it might be a blessing to your people. Would you please give us a listening ear? May there be much liberty in the service. I cannot be a blessing in my own strength and power. I don't say that just to repeat some ritualistic sentence. I mean it. I need you, and so do all of us. We all need you if we're going to profit from the message this morning. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. And amen. Widowed and facing a crisis, a woman with no means to pay bills was about to have her two sons taken into slavery as payment for her debts. Now, as you can imagine, already heartbroken over the death of her husband, having to part with her two boys would only increase her burden and her hurt. So she turned to Elisha, the prophet of God, for help, for advice, for anything that he could offer. And immediately, Elisha asked her what she had in her house. You see that in verse number 2. What hast thou in the house? And she responded, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Now, friend, I don't believe she was exaggerating. I think every piece of furniture, every thing of any kind of value in the house had already been sold or pawned away, and she had used some of that money to pay off or to satisfy maybe the creditors for a week or a month. And so when she said, "I don't have anything left in the house except for a pot of oil," I don't believe she's exaggerating. I believe it's just as the Bible says. All we got, pot of oil. Well, Elisha sent her two boys to borrow empty vessels from their neighbors. He said, "I want you to go out, go to all the neighbors and borrow as many vessels as you can. Don't borrow a handful, borrow a bunch of them." And so they did so, and they brought those empty vessels back to the house. Brother Greg, I need a little bit of help on the monitor this morning on the platform. They brought those empty vessels back to the house, and he said, "I want you to go to that door, that room back there, close the door behind you, and I want you to pour out of that pot of oil into those empty vessels, and you just keep pouring." And so they did. They shut the door, and they brought the first empty vessel. Now, she already has a pot of oil, and she pours out, and that vessel fills up. And they bring her the second empty vessel, and she pours out, and that pot fills up, third, fourth. And they bring every empty vessel that they got borrowed from the neighbors, and every one of those empty vessels is filled, and the pot of oil has not been reduced. She still has her pot. And she can't believe it, and she says, "Elisha, what to do next?" And Elisha said, "I want you to take the oil, I want you to sell it, and pay off your debts, and I want you and the boys to live off of the rest." And she did that. It was a miracle. A miracle of God that also involved her and the boys doing what they could to work themselves out of the crisis. Now, there definitely was a touch of the miraculous in this, friend. The oil multiplying was beyond what she or the boys could do. Right? That's beyond. But it wasn't without some human involvement. They had to gather the vessels. And they had to pour out and fill them. And the oil in that pot was enough to solve their crisis. You know, this is not my message this morning, but If you were here during the conference, you heard the message by Dr. Mickey Carter on the subject of miracles. You know, we still serve a miracle-working God. And part of the time, it's you and me putting ourselves in the position where God can work a miracle. Okay? Just sit on the couch and pray for a miracle. It's putting yourself in a position where God can do the miraculous. And so here it was, a miraculous event. Now, throughout the Bible, oil is used as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. I'm reading from Psalms chapter 45, verse 7, where the Scripture is talking about Jesus Christ. And it says about Jesus in Psalm 45, 7, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." That verse is repeated in Hebrews chapter 1. And the oil that he's talking about there wasn't literal oil. The oil he was talking about there was symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ was anointed with the Holy Spirit above anybody else. Okay? In Psalm 92:10, David gave this testimony. He said, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." I tell you what, sir. Brother Joe, if you'll help this man, please, and they'll help you find a place for that baby. You can sit with him, or you can take him back in the nursery there, and that'll help. Thank you. All right, if you want to do that, that would help us, okay, Brother Joe? If you come right there and show him the way, okay? All right, super good. That's that way that'll keep everything quiet, and we'll be able to sit and listen for the service. Ma'am, can you follow him? That's great, okay? That'll be helpful. That's all right. I mean, some people come. Listen, I'd hate to stick my baby somewhere if it was the first time in a church. It's okay. All right, but we don't have to pay attention in the service here, and that's fine. That baby's doing what babies are made to do. Amen. Babies are made to cry. All right, Sammy, is that true? You finding that out? All right, very good. Now, 92:10, David said this. He said, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." He's talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, throughout the Bible, oil is used as a symbol of the Holy Spirit over and over and over and over again. Here's my question this morning. Are you facing a problem? Are you facing a crisis? Are you facing a difficulty greater than the norm? Now, I believe all of us are accustomed to some measure of difficulty every now and then. But I'm asking today, are you facing something greater than the norm? And you know what? It may not necessarily concern finances. It may not be financial in nature. It may be spiritual in nature. It may be physical in nature. It may be something to do with a relationship problem you're having in your family or with somebody else in your life. Are you facing a situation that's greater than the norm? Like this lady. I have another question. What do you have in the house? What do you have in the house? And by the way, I'm not talking about your house of wood, brick, and stone. I'm talking about your house of flesh and bone. What do you have in your house? Now, child of God, if you're saved, if you've been born again into God's family, no matter how long, I'm talking, if you've been saved for 50 years or if you got saved yesterday, you have a pot of oil in you. You have a pot of oil in you. Now, I mean no irreverence this morning or a lack of respect to the Holy Spirit. He is a person. But for the sake of the text that we're using and the symbolic lessons that can be learned from this text, I say to you this morning, you have a pot of oil in you. I'm talking about you have the person of the Holy Spirit in your body. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now, wait a minute. Twice in the same book, within three chapters of each other, Paul asked the Corinthian people, "Hey, folks, look, whoop." It's like he's saying, "Oh, here, whoa, time out. Don't you know this? You should know this. Have you forgotten this? Or maybe you've been told it. Do you believe it? Don't you realize, don't you understand that the Spirit of God lives in your body. The word temple means dwelling place. My body is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. Your body is the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. He lives in us. Evidently, this is something that believers have a hard time grasping. And so I'm spending a few moments on it this morning. Are you saved? If you're saved, God, the Holy Spirit, lives in you. Now again, what crisis? What tragedy, what difficulty sits in the path of your life right now? Is it spiritual in nature? Is it financial in nature? Is it vocational in nature? Is it with your job? Is it with relationship in nature? What spirit, what crisis, what difficulty sits in your... Look, this woman's husband was dead. Her debts were many. Her sons were going into bondage. All she had was a pot of oil. All? Is that all? But let me ask you, what happened because of that little pot of oil? Because she had that little pot of oil, friend, her debts were paid and her boys were spared bondage and life resumed. And life didn't just resume. Life abounded with just a pot of oil. Are you saved? You have a pot of oil. You have the Holy Spirit of God in you. You say, Pastor, is that all? What do you mean, is that all? Well, let me ask you, what can happen with that all? All the resources of God are at our disposal in the person of the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm talking about with that all. What about that all this morning? Is that all you're going to tell me, Pastor, about my difficulties? All you're going to tell me about my crisis? All you're going to tell me about my tragedy that I'm facing? Is I have a pot of oil? If God would reach down this morning, and I didn't say could, but if He would reach down this morning and touch our awareness to the reality once again that His Spirit lives inside our bodies. We are the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. You have a pot of oil in your body this morning. I have a pot of oil in my body this morning. And I want to realize, I want to help us talk about this morning, the pot of oil, what it means for me and for you. What about this pot of oil? What does oil do? Well, let me say, first of all, this morning, number one, oil comforts. Oil comforts. The Bible says in Isaiah 61:3 that the Bible says that God will give us the oil of joy for mourning. Not M-O-R, like the morning time. Mourning, sadness, grief, heartache. God gives us the oil of joy for mourning. Oil comforts. I remember when I was a little boy, you know, my family was largely influenced by my grandmother who grew up on the ridges of Tennessee. And I mean, buddy, they were poor. We don't talk about poor today very much, but they were poor. I'm talking about holes in the walls of the house where the snow blew in. They were poor. And my family was greatly influenced by my grandmother who just learned remedies and even her food and everything. Brother, you didn't throw anything away off your plate. Every morsel of food was eaten. You didn't waste anything. That was that generation. I tried that in my family. It didn't work. But anyway. I remember when I was a little boy and would get an earache. You know what Mom did? We didn't call the doctor. Honestly, I'm not against doctors, but some people run to the doctor for everything. We didn't call the doctor. Mom would take some oil. Didn't have a microwave. So she put the little bottle in a little pan of water. Turned the gas stove on. And heated the water up, let that bottle sit in there for a little bit until the oil in that bottle got warm. Brother John said it, a little bottle of sweet oil. Take that little bottle of sweet oil, a little dropper, lay our heads sideways on the bed or the counters, and take that little dropper and drop a couple drops of that sweet oil, that warm sweet oil in my ear. And then she put a piece of cotton there. Put a piece of cotton in it, it wouldn't roll out. By the way, it still works. And that oil, that warm oil, would bring comfort to my earache. In the old days, some of you will remember this, castor oil was used for everything internally that was wrong with you. I think I had it one time in my life. And I praise God for the fact that it was only one time. You had a spoonful of castor oil for everything that was going on in your body that was internally wrong or difficult. And you take that castor oil. I remember when Ben was a little boy, we were still living out in Iowa, and we had a wood stove in the basement, just a little small wood stove. But we used that thing in the wintertime to heat the basement, and we had vents that would sometimes heat the house. And he was downstairs playing of an evening, and just a little bitty guy, just a little tyke. And we had talked about the stove, but he was running. And he tripped over something, and he reached, it was headed toward the stove, and he reached with both hands, and he touched the side of that wood stove with both his hands. And I was down there and saw it. Man, I'm telling you, I scooped him up, and he began to scream, you can imagine. And I hollered at Joyce and said, quick, get the vitamin E oil. We had some of those capsules of vitamin E oil. I remember sticking it in my tooth, and I popped it, put a hole in it, and I took that vitamin E oil, and we still use it to this day. There's a bottle of vitamin E oil right beside the stove in our kitchen. And I mean, initially when you rub a burn with vitamin E oil, it stings like crazy. And I can remember him screaming. And we coated his hands with that vitamin E oil. In about 5 or 10 minutes, all the pain and all the crying had stopped. And would you believe that those hands never blistered? Never blistered. That vitamin E oil. Now you can buy it in a bottle, not in a little capsule. You could take it when you get a burn because oil comforts. Earache, the oil comforted the ear. An internal discomfort, the castor oil was used to comfort. And the vitamin E oil on the hand of a burn, the burn on a hand or on a foot or something, causes comfort. Now I'm going to ask, are you hurting this morning? Has some circumstance cut into your heart and soul so deeply that you hurt? Real bad. You know, I remember when Abby, kind of thinking about the kids this week a little bit when I was thinking about this message. I remember when Abby, I forget how old she was. Was she 3 when she got whooping cough? Or 2? I don't know how. 3, 4? She was 2? She got whooping cough. That's awful. I mean, I tell you, she would cough, and I mean, just cough and cough and cough and cough and cough until she had to grab for a breath. And she passed out. Sometimes we had to keep her in for 6 weeks. And a little thing in the bed there. And we took turns, and sometimes one of those attacks would hit her at night. And I would take that little thing. She's a skinny little old girl. I'd take her, if she had one of those coughing attacks, I'd take her into the little river, living room there on North 3rd Street. I'd get in the rocker and hold her up against me. And she passed out in my arms. Just start coughing. The eyes roll back in her head, just pass out. And she wouldn't stay passed out long. And then she'd cry a little bit and whimper around. And she's fighting, you know, she's sleepy and tired. I'd put her little body up against my chest and to put her head right up here, the little curly-haired thing. And I'd sit in that chair and I'd rock. And I'd sing to her, I've seen the lightning flashing, I've heard the billows roll, I've seen the thunder. I forget all the words of the song now, but I did them. And it almost conquered my soul. I heard the voice of my Savior bidding me still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to. And contrary to what you're thinking, she didn't cry. She didn't scream. It soothed her. And she'd fall asleep. And I held her tight. That's a wonderful thing for a child. But what about when you're an adult or you're a college-age young person or you're a kid and you can't get to somebody? And you hurt. You ever been there? You ever wept? I can remember going to see Ben and Ashley in France after Brindley was born and spent some days there. And it was time to go home. And we got up early in the morning, he and I, and drove to a nearby town where I had to catch a train. You may get on the bus and go to the airport in Paris. They were getting ready to move to Madagascar. I didn't know what was in front of them. I didn't know when I'd see them again. And I can remember at that train station had a platform. And we said goodbye. And I said, you got to go. I turned and walked. And I remember looking back and I saw him and I saw the hand go up. And he waved goodbye. I waved and I walked a few steps and then I looked again. The place where he had been standing was empty. He'd gone. I remember I got on that train. It was dark. It was early. I was tired. Lonely. Boy, did I hurt. And I pulled my jacket up over my head. I just wept. And that train started out of the station. And the tears rolled down my cheeks. But after a while, it seemed like somebody, a voice from within, just begin to speak and say, you know, it's going to be all right. I'm going to watch over him. And boy, the thoughts began to roll. You know, one day, the father had to say goodbye to his son. And if he hadn't said goodbye to his son, you wouldn't be saved. You wouldn't have the wife you have, and you wouldn't have the children you have. You know, it was like somebody, I'm not kidding you, friend. I'm not super emotional person, but it was like somebody just turned a tub of oil over my heart. It was like that oil just went all through my body and all over that ache and all over that pain and all over that hurt. And you know what that was, friend? That was the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I was alone. I was by myself. But I did have a pot of oil. I had a pot of oil. I love you folks. I wish I could feel for every hurt you have. I don't know some of the hurts you have. I never had a parent walk out on me. Never. So have you been there? I've never buried a child. My spouse is with me. Not just in body, but in spirit, soul. I watch some of you folks go through some difficulties. I watch you go through some hurts. I can't identify with them. I empathize. And I have sympathy in my heart. And I love you to death. But I can't come to you and sit beside of you and say, I know how you feel. You know, somebody who's been where you've been can comfort you a little bit. If you're going through something that nobody can sit beside you and hold your hand and put an arm around your shoulder and comfort you, I'm going to tell you something. If you're saved, bless God, you got a pot of oil, friend. You got a pot of oil. And I'm not just pumping you hot air this morning, some kind of to make you feel good. I'm telling you, friend, when you're in the bottom, when you're at the bottom, when you're in the valley, the deepest valley you walk through, if you're a born-again child of God, all you got is a pot of oil. Don't minimize that pot of oil. Don't belittle that pot of oil. What you got in your house, lady? I don't have anything. The only thing I got in this house is a pot of oil. But look what happened with that pot of oil. And Christian, when you hurt so deep that it feels like somebody has taken a sword and halved your heart in two, you have a pot of oil. And one of the things that oil does is oil brings comfort to your heart. Amen? Yes, it does. But there's something else I think about oil. I think about this. I think about the fact that oil lubricates. oil lubricates. I'll read this in Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, machinery is made to operate with lubrication. Engines require oil, and if not lubricated, the friction caused from those moving parts, and some of them at high rates of speed, will cause them to heat up and to melt. And you can seize an engine up if it's not lubricated properly. I was thinking about Ben, I guess, this week. I remember he had been at college and he came home for a brief time. And I like to change the oil in my riding mower, my push mower, every year. I think it's a good thing to do. And I like to change it after I use it. I like for the engine to get hot and the oil to thin out a little bit. And, you know, hopefully all the dirt and grime has been washed away from the valves and so forth. And so at this particular time, it's my mistake. I've never done this. I'd never done it before. And believe me, I'll never do it again, friend. I emptied the oil out of the mower, but I didn't have time to refill it. And so I pushed it in the shed. I thought, before I mow next time, I'll put the oil in. Well, I didn't tell anybody. I didn't think that a boy coming home from college would want to mow grass. Usually all they want to do is sleep and eat. Amen. That's probably all they need to do is sleep and eat. I'm sorry, I got to blow my nose. I'll turn this. As a man on the queue up there. Amen. That's a blessing. And so, man, he went to the shed. He's going to do Dad a favor. He pushed that mower out. He cranked her up and started mowing that lawn. He did Dad a favor, all right. He threw the rod through the engine and that motor seized up. And that riding mower was history. I had to get a different riding mower because you can't use an engine like that without lubrication. Now, listen very carefully. We are not machines. But I'm telling you this morning, this is honest truth. If you don't hear me about anything else, hear this. The Christian life has got to have lubrication. We are not mechanical. Sometimes we reduce this matter of our Christian life down to 1, 2, 3, 4, and do those 4, 6 things, and you know what? You can just put it on autopilot like it's some kind of machine. Like some kind of engine. I want to tell you something, friend. Even if it is a machine, it's not going to operate without some kind of lubrication. And if we don't walk in the Spirit, we will burn up in the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Walking in the Spirit allows us the privilege of operating with the lubrication of His graces. I'm talking to some folks this morning, and the Christian life for you has been reduced to a grind. You can't walk, you can't experience the Christian life in the power of the flesh. It has to happen in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. His grace needs to be on us. His lubricating grace needs to be baptizing me every day, day in and day out. And if I'll get under the lubricating grace of the Spirit of God, I can enjoy the Christian life like it's made to be enjoyed. It's what's missing. It's what's missing from some people. There's no joy. You know, you can have joy in spite of difficulty. You've got a pot of oil in you. You've got a pot of oil in you. And oil lubricates. And it's getting yourself in a right relationship with the Spirit of God and letting Him turn over in your life a tub full of this oil that lubricates and produces the fruit, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness. Oh, man, what a life! There was an old miner. He was a lascivious and drunk. He was a drunken man. His name was Billy Bray. You ever heard Curtis Hudson talk about Billy Bray a lot? He was from Cornwall, England. He was a Cornish guy. And he was a miner. And he got saved. This is back long about the early 1800s. He got saved. And he got a dose of salvation, and he talked about the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God in his life, and he tried to win his co-workers to Christ, and they called him the dancing preacher. He was so happy to be saved. He said, I was very happy in my work and could leap and dance underground as well as on the surface. They said that he would walk down the streets of the town, and with every step he took, with his under his breath, and sometimes just not enough for people to hear around him, it would be, amen, glory to God, praise the Lord, amen, glory to God, hallelujah, amen, glory to God, praise the Lord. And it wasn't put on. It was something that came from his heart. It was something that came from within. And he won a bunch of folks to Jesus Christ. He preached and got, I mean, a bunch of them got saved because of his testimony of being a joyful Christian. I'm talking about oil lubricates. And if you're gonna deduce the Christian life down to a few mechanical check, you know, ta-ta, 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 some robotic thing, you're gonna seize up, friend, and burn up. You gotta have a good lubrication of the grace of the Spirit of God. And I'm gonna tell you something, you've got the pot of oil in you. Oil comforts, oil lubricates. And let me say this morning, number three, that oil lights. Oil lights. In Matthew 25, you've got the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 of them took oil in their lamps, and the oil was necessary for light. In Exodus chapter 35, verse 14, the golden candlestick, talked about in the tabernacle, the oil was necessary for the light. Now listen, you want to shine for Jesus Christ. The Bible says about John the Baptist that he was a burning and shining light. But also remember, it says about him that when he was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. In Exodus 34, Moses spent time with God, and when he came off of the mountain, his face shone. His face shone. So much so that they had to take a veil, a cloth, and put it over Moses' face because his face shone. And you know why it shone? Because he'd spent 40 days with the Lord on that mountain in the presence of God. And his face shone. His countenance was like a light. Oh, what a testimony to the goodness of God. And friend, we have the Spirit of that same God in our bodies. And oil lights. I need to get connected and tuned in to the pot of oil that's in my body, in my temple, and cause my face to shine and my countenance to reflect the victory that's in Christ Jesus, that's in the salvation He provides. I'm talking this morning, friend, about you have a pot of oil. You say, Pastor, is that all? Sometimes I've told you this before. Sometimes folks will come for a little advice or counsel in the room back there, and we sit down and talk about it, and I listen to the situation, listen to the problem, and sometimes I feel so inadequate. And like I'm not helping the person to point them to the Bible or to point them to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I think people leave disappointed because all the pastor told me was that I got the Holy Spirit of God in me. I need to lean on Him, and that's all he said. That's all. That's all. Why are we minimizing it? Why have we so deprioritized whatever the word is? The ministry of the Holy Spirit, that we feel like if somebody points us to the Holy Spirit that's within us, they haven't done us a favor. What do you got in your house, lady? Just a pot of oil. But oh, what that pot of oil did. What do you have in your house this morning? You got a pot of oil? Oil comforts, oil lubricates, and oil lights. Don't minimize the one who lives inside of you. The truth of the matter is, friend, if you don't know what I'm talking about this morning, if the Holy Spirit of God does not live in your body, you are not a child of God. and heaven will not be your home someday. The Bible makes it very clear that only those who are saved, the Spirit of God indwells those people only. And I'm saying this morning, if you're saved, you have a pot of oil. Don't minimize it. Don't minimize Him, that oil of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening today. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the gift of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of us. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for taking up residence in our bodies. Would you help our attention to be drawn this morning to your reality? And would you reach down and touch somebody this morning and put them back in contact with how powerful that pot of oil is or can be in their life? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want to ask a couple, three questions this morning, and then we'll finish up with the service while you're listening. Looking this way, nobody moving around. Wonder who would say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I know where I'd spend eternity. I'm saved and I know it. You can say that this morning, honestly, before God. Would you raise your hand just as a testimony of that? Would you do that? Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Take your hand down. Is there one here this morning who would say, Pastor, I could not raise my hand. I did not raise it. I don't know for sure that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. I don't know this whole matter of eternal destiny, if the Holy Spirit lives within me or not. I didn't raise my hand then, but I will raise it now and ask you to pray for me. Not by name, but when you close the service in a moment, would you just ask God to help me? I'd love to do that. Would you just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. God bless you. I see that. Somebody else? I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure. Thank you. You may take your hand down. Thank you. Somebody else? I appreciate it. Anybody else? If you're not saved this morning, I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. When we give the invitation time, if you really would like to know that you're on your way to heaven, that you are a child of God, you'd really like to understand this business of being born into God's family and having eternal life in heaven, we can have somebody here at the altar show you how to be saved. And I would invite you to come and trust Christ as your Savior this morning so you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. I wonder if there's somebody here that would say, Pastor, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. I've not been obedient to Christ yet, and believer's baptism, pray for me. Somebody like that in the room this morning? I've been saved but not baptized yet. Anybody like that? I've been saved but not baptized? Not yet. All right? Heads are bowed. If you've been saved and baptized, you know that this is the place that God wants you to become a member. You've talked with one of us about it, and it's a good time to join. I wonder who's here this morning. You're saved, child of God. And the Spirit of God spoke to your heart one way or the other this morning. Maybe you need some comfort. Maybe you need some lubrication. Maybe you need some light. Been a bad testimony. And you got the pot of oil. You got the Spirit of God. You say, Pastor, I need to get reconnected with Him. Grieved Him, quenched Him too long. Pray for me. That spoke to my heart this morning. Would you raise a hand wherever you are today? God bless you. Yes, I see that. Amen. Thank you. You may take your hands down. My Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of preaching about the Holy Spirit. I pray for these that don't know they're saved. I pray that you'll please draw them to Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, for any that need to be baptized or join the church. And then I pray for these that raised a hand this morning that you spoke to them specifically about a need that they have concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit in their heart. Lord, thank you for the fact that He comforts and He lubricates and He lightens. And I pray that we'll get in touch with Him and be in good graces with the Holy Spirit who lives within us. May we give Him control of our lives. We'll thank you for it. Help today in Jesus' name. Now our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. In just a moment we're going to stand. And the ladies are going to play. And when they do, if you raise your hand at any time during those questions, if you're not sure that you're saved, if you need to be baptized, or if you raised your hand saying God spoke to your heart, if you raised your hand at any time, I hope that you'll slip out quickly and come right to the front and let us help you at the altar this morning. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies are playing right now. And as they come, you step out this morning. Others are coming. You won't be alone. Would you come? Let us show you how to be saved.